Thank you. Dear son Kapila, after all, I am a woman. It is very difficult for me to understand the absolute truth because my intelligence is not very great. But if you will kindly explain it to me, even though I am not very intelligent, I can understand it and thereby feel transcendental peace. You can repeat. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Knowledge of the absolute truth is not very easily understood by ordinary, less intelligent men. But the spiritual master is kind enough to the disciple, however unintelligent a disciple may be, then by the divine grace of the spiritual master, everything is revealed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur therefore says, Yasya Prasada, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the mercy of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Bhagavad Prasad, is revealed. Devahuti requested her great son to be merciful towards her because she was a less intelligent woman and also his mother, By the grace of Kapiladev, it was quite possible for her to understand the absolute truth, even though the subject matter is very difficult for ordinary persons, especially women. Oma gyan timiran nasya yinam gina shalakaya chakshur militam kena tasmaya sigurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupagadamayam Dadantista Dadantika Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Om Amrim Chom Om Varam Tatakahati Vikeshu Vidala Parigalochana Padvarakanaka Svacha Eva Singha Namoshana. My dear son Kapila, after all, I am a woman. It is very difficult for me to understand the absolute truth because my intelligence is not very great. But if you will kindly explain it to me, even though I am not very intelligent, I can understand it and thereby feel transcendental happiness. So, this verse, spoken by Srimati Devahuti to Kapiladev, her spiritual master, is actually very appropriate to all of us, because one should present himself before the spiritual master as a fool. Otherwise, there's no hope of making spiritual advancement. But then again, someone may think, hearing this verse, that this is a condemnation of women as being less intelligent. But actually, in Kali Yuga, everyone is unintelligent. No one has any real intelligence. Kulo sudrasambhava. It is stated in the Vedas that anyone who was born in this age, practically speaking, is sudra. Otherwise, what are we doing in this age? Their ages Satya, Chaitanya, Tukwara. They were full of Brahmins, intelligent class of men, Kshatriyas, etc. But in this age, everyone is born into ignorance. Therefore we say, Oma Jnantimanandasya Ginam Gina Shalakaya. That I was born into the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master, by his mercy, has opened my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Shalakaya actually means like a scalpel. Just like a doctor, he has a scalpel. And with that scalpel, he cuts the patient and performs the operation. So the scalpel of transcendental knowledge, shalakaya, in the sense of shalakaya, that is used to remove the cataract on the eyes of the aspiring devotee. What is that cataract? That cataract, of course, is our material desire. So that ignorance is removed by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, who is a representative of the Supreme Lord. And our attitude should be, if we want to actually understand from such a personality, is to present ourselves as a fool. Just like Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, he was a very aristocratic person. He was originally born in a Brahmin family. Although he gave up that brahminical status, he took up the service of the Mohammedans. Still he was engaged in so much elevated type of work. He knew so many languages, he was very proficient in different sciences and studies, etc. But when he came before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who he accepted as his spiritual master, he actually presented himself as a fool. He fell down before Mahaprabhu with a blade of grass in his mouth, and he presented, "I am simply a fool. You please instruct me in Krishna consciousness." So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that it is a haitakiya pratiyata, that advancement in the path of devotional service does not, one should not be discouraged because one has very little qualification. And neither should one think that by his material qualification one can make advancement. It has no material cause. Sabai pum sham karat narmo yato bhakti radoksaji ahaitukiya pratiyata dayatma supersiyati. Actually, it is better to think that we have no qualifications. Although someone may think that this verse is condemning women as being less intelligent, actually, it's better to think I'm less intelligent, and thereby be qualified to receive the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Because on the contrary, if one thinks that he has some qualification, some material qualification for advancing in devotional service, he becomes immediately disqualified. That verse is there. Janmai Shubhaya Shuta Shribir Ete Mala Madhavamam Navehadya Viratum Dai Tvamakinchana Gochara. Kunti Devi is praying, "My Lord, your lordship can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself by respectable birth, parentage, great opulence, high education, bodily beauty, can hardly approach you with sincere feeling." So actually material qualifications, as they are actually obstacles for making progress in spiritual life. Better one thinks himself more humble than the blade of grass. Then he can actually receive the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. So to be less intelligent, this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. What would in the ordinary sense of the word be a disqualification? Or even in other spiritual paths, such as we were speaking the other day, of the path of jnana, the path of yoga, one must be intelligent. Actually, there must be some intelligence there to actually progress on this path. Even if one is the most foolish person in Krishna consciousness, by the grace of Guru and Gauranga, he can make advancement. Tesham satara yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvikam tatami guri yogam enamam upiyantite. What does Krishna say? Krishna says, to those who constantly worship me with love, tatami guri yogam tam, that I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So this is actually our only qualification. Or it's described also in the Upanishad, that enthusiasm to take up the process of devotional service, that is actually what is necessary. It doesn't matter whether one is a fool, whether one is intelligent. It doesn't mean that the person who has a more respectable birth has a better chance. It doesn't mean that a person who has more bodily beauty has a better chance. It doesn't mean that if one has a great education, materially speaking, that he has a better chance. It doesn't mean it. No. Everyone has an equal chance in the eyes of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, Krishna states very emphatically in Bhagavad Gita that Whether one be a woman, a Sudra, a Vaishya, or Dvijabandhu, even if one is a fallen Brahmin, they can also approach the Supreme Destination. So actually in Kali Yuga, everyone, practically 100% falls into this category. So we can take great hope in this mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhakti, for bhakti, or devotional service to manifest in the heart, it doesn't depend upon one's disqualifications or one's so-called qualification. It's simply based on the mercy of a Vaishnava. So therefore, what is the secret of success? Whatever we are, whomever we are, big person, little person, what is the secret of success? The secret of success is to get the mercy of Guru and Garanga. That is the secret to success in Krishna consciousness. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra koi, lavamata sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi koi. We should try to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Actually, the Vaishnavas, they carry the mercy of the Supreme Personality of God. If one actually wants to get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, first he has to get the mercy of a devotee. This has been described. Who has ever been delivered from material existence without the mercy of a devotee? So if we want to understand Krishna, we must first approach his devotees and get their mercy. Now this whole principle of the awakening of bhakti within the heart, this is nicely discussed by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura in his Madhurya Pradhamini. And there he's explaining that actually bhakti is, the manifestation of bhakti in the heart doesn't depend upon any pious activity. One may think that if I do so much pious activity, for so many years or so many lives, and I get the opportunity to practice devotional service. And this is sometimes even stated in the scriptures. Even the cattle boys, when they were in Vrindavan, they were thinking, perhaps we've amassed so many pious activities, and as a result of our pious activities, now we have the chance to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura, he points out the error in this conclusion, because that would mean that bhakti was dependent upon something material. That means bhakti or devotional service would in itself be dependent upon some material situation. But ahitakiyapatiyata, it has no material cause. So therefore he goes on to explain that the real cause of bhakti is not anything material. It is simply the mercy of a devotee. So then one may question how the devotee bestows the mercy. Devotees are by nature very merciful. And this is actually what distinguishes a Vaishnava from all other classes of transcendentalists. Because all other classes of transcendentalists are actually basically concerned with their own salvation. But a devotee, actually he's concerned with the salvation of everyone else. Is it Vasudeva Datta in the Chaitanya Charitamrita? He was actually praying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please, you take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities and you place them in my head and let them all go back to God. So this actually becomes a devotee's qualification for going back home, because he has no selfish interests. He's simply concerned with the deliverance of others. As Prahlad Maharaj was stating very nicely, that he did not want any benediction from the Supreme Lord, Narasimhadeva. He simply wanted to see that all these fallen conditioned souls had the opportunity to go back home, back to the spiritual world. So if we want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, and we should, then we should know the secret of success, as Śrīla Prabhupāda again quotes Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura, Yasya Prasad Bhagavat Prasada, that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. So we should try to please the devotees, and we should never be discouraged that I'm a fool, or I'm this, or I'm that. There's no disqualifications. Even some great devotees have been illiterate, and still they have been pure Vaishnavas. One time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was touring South India, and he went to the Ranganatha temple. He was visiting all the holy spots. And when he came to that temple, there was one Brahmana who was reading the Bhagavad Gita. Now this Brahmana, he was actually illiterate. He could neither read nor write. But his spiritual master had given him the instruction to study the Bhagavad Gita every day. That was his instruction. But still he was illiterate. So how do we understand that the spiritual master can give an instruction that apparently the devotee can't carry it out? Well, the idea is, the understanding is, the transcendental phenomena is, that along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to execute it. So no one should ever think that my spiritual master has given me an impossible instruction. We were reading the other day, actually Devahuti, she was inquiring from Kapila Devi, do you please instruct me in that type of devotional service, which is good for me to easily attain your lotus feet? She was inquiring, what specific type of service should I do? So the spiritual master will always engage the disciple in such a service that will allow that devotee to surrender. We have to surrender. We have to give up our material. The Vaishnavas, with that enthusiasm, we are able to do what we thought was impossible. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what is impossible becomes possible. And if one doesn't have the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, one is not a devotee, then what is very easy becomes impossible to execute. So just to help us understand how great is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the execution of our devotional service, we can simply study the personality of Lord Brahma. Now Lord Brahma, he's a jiva soul. He's like you and me, although we can't actually say that because Brahma is such an elevated soul. But philosophically, Brahma is a jiva. The topmost pious personality within the universe, at the time of creation, he is chosen to be the creator of the direction of the Supreme Lord. Now just see what Lord Brahma has done. We try to create something. What can we create? We can maybe create some gardens, we can construct a building, we can construct some roads, so our power is there that we can do these things. But just look, that by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who actually was Brahma's guru, Lord Krishna is the Adi Guru, is the original spiritual master. So just like Devahuti was fortunate to have the Supreme Lord as her spiritual master, so also Brahma, he had the Supreme Lord as his spiritual master. And by the mercy of his spiritual master, but just look what he could accomplish. He created his whole material universe. So that is the deal. And the devotee, by the mercy of the Lord, he can deliver the entire universe. The mercy of the Mahabhagavata, the pure devotee. Just like we chant the glories of Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda's glories are known throughout the three worlds. Throughout the three worlds, Śrīla Prabhupāda's glories are known because he's actually delivering. He's bringing the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and delivering everyone. So therefore, he's glorified all over the three worlds. So this is the potency of carrying out the instruction of Guru. Therefore, it is such a thing that the third offense in the holy name is to disrespect the orders of the spiritual master. One should never think that the orders of the spiritual master are like somebody else's orders. The orders of the spiritual master carry great potency and great mercy. Chaitanya or Śrīla Prabhupāda said, I only ask my spiritual master one question, how can I serve you? And Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, you preach Krishna consciousness in the English speaking language. So Prabhupāda made that his life and soul. Actually, in the beginning, the pastime was, because we know Śrīla Prabhupāda is an eternally liberated personality, but the pastime goes that Prabhupāda was apparently entangled in household life. And as a result of this, he couldn't actually become busy executing the order of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. In some small ways he attempted, but he didn't really take that order up full-heartedly, although it was there, and carrying it in his heart. But then one day, Prabhupada said, that he was reading the Bhagavad Gita and a commentary by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur. And in the purport to the verse that Prabhupada was reading, Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakur said that one should make the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. And he gave the analogy that just as one cannot separate the soul from the body, otherwise it will be death, similarly, one cannot separate the order of one's spiritual master or spiritual masters, one's authorities, from one's life. That is life. Real life is Krishna consciousness. Material existence is not real life, it is simply the moving of dead bodies. Like this body is dead. It is simply material energy. So if one is acting on the conception that I am this material body and trying to satisfy his senses, actually he's just like a dead body. That is not real life. Doesn't mean to manipulate this gross body of bones, blood, and mucus and flesh for some type of materialistic pleasure. That's not life. That's simply relating with that which is dead. This body is dead by nature. Only because the presence of the soul is there, it appears to be alive. It only appears to be. So, material life is not life. That's why there's no taste. That's why it's like death. That's why it's like death. Actually, the experience that one has of pleasure in this material world, that's not real pleasure. It's a cessation of pain. Anyway. Real life is Krishna consciousness. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if one has life, he can preach. In other words, if one is fixed in the understanding that he is spirit, soul, part and parcel of Krishna, he can exist on the platform of real life, spiritual life. So, the instruction of the spiritual master is that lifeline to Krishna. It is the lifeline to life, to an internal life, a life of bliss and knowledge. Now, if we take up that instruction wholeheartedly, then we can actually be elevated. No matter how fallen we are, and no matter how fallen we are, there's so many evidences of devotees who were very fallen. But by the mercy of Guru and Guranga, they were elevated. And the example is given in the Shastra. And just as bell metal can be changed into gold by the proper chemical process, similarly, by proper training in Diksha, one can be elevated to the platform of a Brahma by the mercy of Guru and Guranga. That is the miracle of devotional service. Of course, those who don't understand the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, again, they think that by their own austerities and penances, they can elevate themselves beyond this material world. But that is a misunderstanding. It is by the mercy of the Supreme Lord that actually one becomes delivered. So this is the miracle of Krishna consciousness. Just like it's a miracle how one can change bell metal into gold. That is, there is a process that can be done. You can change bell metal into gold. The yogis could do that. The yogis, they would drink mercury. And by their yogic siddhi, they would be able to assimilate that mercury. And then in the morning when they woke up, when they would answer nature's call, they would urinate. They would urinate on the bell metal. And by the combination of the mercury inside the body, then that would make the bell metal turn to gold. So this is a very easy formula. Anyone who wants to, I mean, there's so much bell metal everywhere, there's very little gold. So if you want to do this, then simply drink some mercury. And you'll just sleep at night and die. Because actually mercury is very poisonous. But the yogis, they have some power like that. They could assimilate the mercury. So it's nothing more astonishing that a conditioned soul who is so much addicted to materialistic life can actually become a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. It's no less a miracle. And that promise of that is my miracle. Sometimes they would ask Prabhupada, what miracle can you do? Can you make ashes come from your hand? Can you make gold appear? Can you make Rolex watches come? Like, what is his name?
Sai Baba.
And Prabhupada said, things are not very wonderful. He said, my miracle is here, all these boys and girls are here. So, one time a magician came to Vrindavan, and he had so many tricks to perform. So this magician asked if he could see the spiritual master, see Sri Prabhupada. So some devotees said, okay. So they took this magician to see Sri Prabhupada. So Prabhupada agreed to see him. He had some higher purpose, obviously. The magician, as soon as all the devotees heard that, oh, Prabhupada is seeing the magician, this was so much fun for all the children, so all the Gurukul kids came, and all the teachers also came, because they wanted to see the magician do his tricks. So everybody crowded into Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram Mandir, and the magician began doing tricks, and he was using Prabhupada as the person when he was doing the tricks. So first he took a gold coin, and he put it in Srila Prabhupada's hand. So he said, hold it tight, keep it in your hand. And mysteriously, boom, it dropped out of Prabhupada's hand. Prabhupada's eyes were very big. He said, oh, you can't make the money go away, but can you make the money come? So the magician said, no, I cannot say that. But then he did different tricks. He put something behind Prabhupada's ear and make it appear over here. Some of the senior devotees were feeling a little uncomfortable that Prabhupada was being used as the butt of a joke, so to speak, like this. But those who were actually, you know, they actually knew Prabhupada had some purpose in mind, so they were just waiting to see what Prabhupada had to say. So the magician, he did so many things in front of the devotees. He pulled different things from hats, I don't know, rabbits or something. And he made different things turn different colors. So then again, this was going on for some time, and then everyone was very amazed. And then he finally said, the Prabhupada finally stopped. He said, all right, that is enough. So that is finished. So he said, you can make, again, you can make so many things disappear. You have so many tricks like this. He said, but can you make birth, death, old age, and disease disappear? He said, if you can do that, you are a real magician. And he said, no, no, I cannot do that. And Prabhupada said, I can do that. By giving these instructions of Krishna consciousness, my disciples are following. These boys and girls are liberated from birth, death, old age, and disease. He says, so I am the real magician. You can make a few things disappear, but if you can make birth, death, old age, and disease, then that is something significant. That is something wonderful. So that is the real miracle. And that is the miracle of a devotee, that he can give Krishna consciousness, which means eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So, regardless of what we are, who we are, one time Prabhupada said he compared himself to Lord Ramachandra, in the sense that Lord Ramachandra, he was so successful at conquering Ram, but he only had bears and monkeys. Lord Ramachandra, he conquered the great atheistic king, Ravana, but how did he do it? He had bears and he had monkeys. So Prabhupada one time, actually I think in a purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, just like Ramachandra had his bears and monkeys, so similarly, my disciples, they're all born in Western countries, they're all degraded, they could do so much sinful activity. But now, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they are spreading this Yuga Dharma. Just like the bears and monkeys, they assisted Lord Ramachandra. So similarly, we are all assisting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the mercy of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is our only quality. And we should remember that. We actually have no other qualification. We may have something that appears to be a qualification, but unless we remember where from that mercy is coming, then we immediately fall. Whatever we have done, that is all by the mercy of Guru and Guru. We are simply the instruments, the humble. So if we remember that, then we are always safe. And the more pure we become by following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, the more Srila Prabhupada can use us in his mission. That is our prayer. Not that we want to make spiritual advancement for any this reason or that reason, but we simply want to make spiritual advancement so we can be the proper instrument in the hands of our spiritual master. Because that is our pleasure. Our pleasure is to give pleasure to Srila Prabhupada. I remember when one time Prabhupada came to Detroit, so he gave a series of lectures, and then we were sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada at the end. So one devotee raised his hand and said, Srila Prabhupada, what is the one thing that we can do that will give you the most pleasure? The devotees were sitting on the edges of their little mats, whatever, waiting for Prabhupada's response. So Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. So immediately there was this big, explosive kirtan. Hare Krishna! The devotees started chanting and dancing. Because they knew that if they wanted to get the mercy, and everybody wants to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, then we simply have to take up his instructions to follow. And we can see that when we take up the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, how enthusiastic we become in devotional service. And when we neglect those instructions, and we avoid those instructions, how miserable we become. So it's not very difficult to please Srila Prabhupada. But because of our conditioned nature, we feel it to be a little bit difficult. So if we can just make that little bit of advancement where we're steady, actually Brahman means one who's steady. A Brahman should actually be steady. We can be steady. But if we neglect the instructions, then again we become miserable. If we don't chant 16 rounds a day, every day, if we don't chant all our Gayatris, if we don't follow the four legates of principles and execute our devotional service, then we'll again become fallen, we'll again become miserable. So if one is feeling discouraged in devotional service, it's not because of the process. The process is perfectly complete, but it's because of our inability to execute it properly. So if one is feeling some lack of enthusiasm or a little confused or whatever, then what to do? We simply take up wholeheartedly the process of Krishna consciousness and we'll be again properly situated. So it gives us great hope. We can come from the most fallen background, but we can become devotees of the Lord. And even if we make a mistake in Krishna consciousness, still, we're not disqualified. Even if one commits the most abominable activity, one can be rectified by again taking up devotional service in the destruction of the spiritual master, and again be properly situated. So whatever our situation is, our lifeline, our hope in Krishna consciousness, is yasya prasad bhagavad prasad. To please Guru and Guranga, then our life will be complete. So, Baladeva Huti, she's expressing very frankly, honestly, that I am a woman. And generally women are considered to be less intelligent. So she's saying, how will I advance in Krishna consciousness? I'm not very intelligent. But if you give me your mercy, then I can understand everything. Everything can be understood by the mercy of the spiritual master. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru. If one has full faith in the instructions of the Lord and his devotees, then the full purport of the Vedic knowledge is revealed. So we don't have to perform so many austerities and penances. We don't have to read all the Vedic literatures. We just have to please Śrīla Prabhupāda for our spiritual master. We can make so much progress. Otherwise, how have we gotten where we've gotten? And we should always remember where from that mercy is coming. Just like Prabhupāda told the story of the rat who was being chased by the cat. So the rat, he was feeling very bad. This cat is always chasing me. So he went to the local yogi. He said to the local yogi, please, this cat is chasing me. Can you please make me into a cat? So the yogi said, and the rat became a cat. And then a dog started chasing the cat. So the cat went to the yogi again. Now this dog is chasing me, causing so much problems. Please, you make me into a dog. Became a dog. Then a tiger came into the village. So the dog went back to the yogi. Oh, Mr. Yogi, please, this tiger is making me into a tiger. So the yogi made him into a tiger. And the tiger started looking at the yogi. Going to make a nice feast. So as soon as he thought like that, then the yogi said, you rascal, why can't you become a mouse? So like that, whatever we have been able to accomplish, whatever we are situated in, so by the mercy of the devotees, the spiritual master and Krishna, and we should always remember where from that mercy is coming and never displease them in any way, then our progress in Krishna consciousness is assured. Even if we don't pull out all the adharmas from the heart. Yesterday we were talking about that. Last night we told the story. Our Prabhupada was on the Vyasa Sanya. All right, 98%, he said. Then 80%, he said. Just become 80% Krishna conscious. And then he got off the Vyasa Sanya, he was walking away, and he threw his chadar over his shoulder. He said, all right, 70%. So like that, it's not, we're not like, you know, the jnanis and the yogis, etc., that all those details, actually, we just want to please Guru and Guranga. And that is not very good.